My friend and a man who spent the majority of his adult life in law enforcement, just retired the last couple of years as St. Cloud Police Chief, and on this show quite often, Blair Anderson, is kind enough to join us. Like all of our guests, Blair is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Hope you're great. Let's jump in right away. We've talked about this individual before, Hussein Braveheart. He was in the news years ago when he was 15, and he was a part of carjacking with Jared Oshman. And they attempted to steal a vehicle from Steve Markey. Oshman shot first on Markey, and then Braveheart also shot at Markey. Markey would die. Then Mary Moriarty stepped in when there were much more serious charges out there and dropped the charges dramatically from down to first-degree attempted assault, sentenced to 54 months in prison. Because he'd already been in custody, this sentence was tantamount to time served. The judge, as you remember, Blair, initially wanted no part of it, said, I'm not okaying this. But then when Moriarty and her team made some adjustments, he had no choice but accept it. And part of what Moriarty said, and we had her on the show at that time, Dave, talking about it when I pushed her strongly, he realizes the error of his ways, his youth, he's making tremendous progress, and we want to give him that opportunity. Well, guess what happened? Hussein Braveheart was arrested Sunday and charged with a felony for fleeing police in Dakota County as he was driving 100 miles per hour in a stolen car. And he also ran multiple stoplights, drove erratically while being pursued. A helicopter was needed to apprehend him. The two of us have talked on and off air about Mary Moriarty a number of times before. And I know how she ran and what the basis of how she wanted to be different than Mike Freeman. I've discussed that over and over and over again, including with her. But when you see Braveheart's name come up again, and you already have your established feelings about Moriarty and her team, what came to mind when you first saw this this individual back in the news again?
Well, thanks, Chad, for having me on, my friend. It's always good to be on with you. Chad, anger, rage, disappointment, and, you know, at long last, you just shrug your shoulders. You feel sad for that family of that victim, and you're enraged by the fact that this woman is still in office and she's elected, so the only thing that can get her removed is for her to be disbarred or for the voters to say enough is enough. And you've already said it more eloquently than I can. She is a very dangerous person, and she is not using her platform the way it should be used. And I, you know, as a resident of Hennepin County, I'm outraged. As a citizen, as a former police officer, it's the thing that's the most frustrating for us, right? You know, our job is to find bad guy, arrest same. And when we do that and we don't get any support from our district attorneys or our county attorneys, it's heartbreaking. It's soul crushing. It's gut wrenching. And I'm pissed off because there's no way that she belongs in that chair.
Yeah, you've made that point multiple times on this show that you don't believe she's equipped to be the Hennepin County District Attorney. Let's just deal with kids versus adults and kids in carjacking across the country, but in particular in Hennepin County. No one is suggesting every single time that a 15-year-old is treated the same as my age, 59. But there are circumstances and details and facts that matter. This is a carjacking. This is firing a gun at someone who already has been injured. This is someone who they were trying to get to accept in a deal at one point, second-degree murder. and then ends up getting time served, and we're told about all the great progress that he has showed us. Well, that turned out to be utter nonsense. And we also know in Hennepin County, you know this better than I, the issue of carjacking, of individuals of ridiculous ages. We had the story, what it was about a month ago, Dave, with the 13-year-olds stealing the car, and then shots fired at them. So it's 13-year-olds, it's 14-year-olds, it's 15-year-olds. And Blair, these are repeat offenders. And we're not putting enough teeth into it. We're letting them go. It's clear O'Hara is extraordinarily frustrated, and I can't say all the names, but there are plenty of Democratic officials who either are known or who are essential behind the scenes who've told me the last 2 years when they've heard me talking about Moriarty, when they shake their head and say, we adamantly don't agree with what she's doing. These are people in her own party who passionately feel like you that she is not up for the job.
And here's the thing, Chad. There are statistics that bear this out, that if you're stealing cars and you're doing violent crime by the time you're 13, 14, 15, the statistics show us that by the time you're 18, 19, or 20, that is going to escalate. And so the whole idea that it's just a juvenile crime is absurd when you start talking about the level of violence that these teenagers are engaging in. And you know, Chad, I grew up in one of the most violent neighborhoods in the world. And so I understand this probably better than a lot of folks. But, you know, attempted, the guy's already been shot. You shoot at him as he's driving away trying to save his own life, and you wind up with time served for attempted assault. Come on, man. This is not rocket surgery. It's not.
You were trying to kill the guy, so you could get away with it. Case closed.
And eventually they did. Sad as that is, and I just feel awful for his family, it is gut-wrenching. And I don't know how. Perhaps this woman doesn't have a mirror in her house, because how could you pass the mirror test and say that you have a soul, or that you're a human being, or that you're for humanity and doing what's right and do the things that she's been doing since she took office? Chad, it's just, I don't know. They're not enough expletives. There just aren't for me, and I don't want to get you in trouble with the FCC, but I have a whole bunch I could hurl. But this woman is dangerous. She really is, and I don't know what drives her or how she thinks the way she does or what for, but what I do know is that she ain't doing a damn thing that's good for humanity with the platform that she has right now.
I think it cannot be stated any more powerfully than that. Let's put Blair on hold. Let's get to other topics. This is powerful words from a man who lived it year after year after year. Huge part of his adult life in law enforcement. Successful years as St. Cloud Police Chief Blair Anderson. Retired a few years ago, and we're lucky to have him on our show. Back with Blair in moments on CCO. Right back with our friend Blair Anderson, former St. Cloud Police Chief. Blair is a diehard Lions fan. Did you see the note the other day, Blair, that Dan Campbell, the successful Lions head coach, has been harassed so many times, in particular after losses, and these buffoons found out his address. He's been doxxed, other people sent there to fix things when there's no reason to fix things, that Dan Campbell had to move because of buffoonery from fans of the Lions who were upset that they didn't win a game.
Well, what a shame. That's the first time hearing of this, because we suffered for so long, and clearly Dan Campbell has the answer. I mean, we are a few plays away from going to the Super Bowl, which we've never even been close to. And here's what I will say. That clearly is not typical of Detroit Lions fans, because, Chad, you've been in this industry for a long time. And even when we were horrible, which was most of our existence until the last couple of years, that stadium is packed.
It is.
Every single game. there is not a seat to be found. So they can't be Lions fans if they're behaving that way towards a guy who has gotten us as close to the promised land as we've ever been. So yeah. Shame on them.
It is just, I mean, this is criminal. This is not just buffoonery. It's criminal behavior that I enjoy sports. You enjoy sports. I love that people have passion for it. But the folks who think this somehow is acceptable is awful. Okay, let's get to Spot Shooter. I know you're familiar with this. And the Minneapolis City Council, Brian O'Hara, the police chief, who you've stated many times on our show that you have great respect for, wanted to continue the contract and wanted to expand the area. And in the end, the city council, not as long as O'Hara wanted and not as far, not adding as many neighborhoods as O'Hara wanted. Jeremiah Ellison said, a long extension of the contract, a massive expansion that just assumes this works the way we want it to. I feel like it's better to go this way. Voting just purely no on the expansion didn't seem like it was going to be in the service of the community that I represent. Jason Chavez, I have a shot spotter in my neighborhood, so people are still being shot and killed in these locations. Prevention, intervention, healing, reducing, getting these guns off the street is what actually is going to reduce gun violence. But shot spotter is not going to do that. I mean, if the bar to me, Blair, is for shot spotter, that it has to end violence 1,000%, what a false question that is. To me, is it helping? Is it effective? Is it giving law enforcement a better chance? Is it falsely accusing people? But if the bar, it hasn't stopped everything, to me, that's nonsense.
And that's the cry of the truly desperate. And thank you for pointing that out, Chad, because obviously it's not a preventive maintenance tool. How can you use something like that to prevent people from going out with guns and resolving their issues with gunplay? What it is a very effective tool, and that has been proven over and over again to help the officers who are responding get a grip on what has happened and where in a much more efficient manner than without it. Is it expensive? 100%.
Yep.
Is it worth it? Absolutely. And so speaking of buffoonery, you mentioned the Minneapolis City Council. I can't think of a better word to explain that group. But, yeah, no, this is this is the sad part, because this is the argument that, it's not preventing gun violence. Well, that's not what it's designed for. It's designed to help us get a handle on something as efficiently and effectively and as quickly as possible. And it is a proven tool, not just here, but throughout the country. So I wring my hands, and I'm apoplectic with the way they make decisions. And this is another one of those instances where they are throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Because, no, it's not supposed to be a preventive tool. It's a tool that helps us effectively and efficiently get to the bottom and resolve some of these issues. And, well, and without it, you're not going to be as effective.
Well,
that's just the bottom line.
Talking to you, talking to Brian O'Hara, talking to Mary Arredondo, Tim Dolan, Tony Boza over the years since it came into play, this is, you know, Boza didn't have that when Boza used to come on with me. You know, it allows you to find out where something happened as quickly as possible and maybe in a quicker way to track down the potential suspects. Now, for people who say civil liberties are being violated and that certain neighborhoods are being targeted and residents of that neighborhood are being targeted and falsely accused, what do you say to the people who offer that up?
So let's unpack that, because I many times have fielded calls from citizens, and this, I'm going to go backwards to go forward. When the Mary Moriartys of the world make the decisions that they make, they don't call her office. they call the police and say, why is this person back on the street? Why are they still committing crimes? So I say all that simply to say this. Here's the news, and people don't want to hear this, but because I'm where I'm from and I try to keep it real, Chad, there probably are more gunshots reported on the north side of Minneapolis than there are in Minnetonka or Wayzata or Victoria or any of the other suburbs that we have. Go east, west, north, or south. And so we need to unpack that comprehensively and not be ashamed or not be dissuaded from talking about those issues, because that's real. It is real. And so to have those kinds of tools to help, and this is no slight on North Minneapolis necessarily, because I know a whole bunch of people who live there and who are from there who are hardworking, decent citizens. But it's the scourge that tarnishes, you know, areas like that. You know, Chad, I didn't know this because I'm a transplant until a friend of mine told me. There really is no such thing as North Minneapolis. That's a political term. It's all Minneapolis. It's Minneapolis, but when you say North Minneapolis, the connotation is, oh my God, that's a violent area. That's the hood, if you will. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Yep. There are a whole bunch of decent, hardworking people that live on the north side of Minneapolis, and I guarantee you that they would be the last people who would want a shot spotter or any of the other tools that the MPD are using to help them be more efficient and more effective in getting to the bottom of the crimes that happen.
Yeah,
so
they would not want those taken away or limited. That's
no,
for sure.
No. Yeah. They wouldn't. They wouldn't, Chad. But sadly enough, this is what happens when we politicize this kind of crap. And I don't know, man. We're in big trouble.
Yeah. I got to jump in. We got about another month of golf left. Let's try to make that happen before the snow comes.
Please, can we? And before I go, Chad, I'm putting you in charge of this. I need to meet Shaletta because her and I are kindred spirits. We clearly were raised the same way just listening to her, and I'm not trying to get fresh with her because you met my lovely wife, Robin.
No.
But me and Shaletta
done deal.
Need to have some face-to-face time, and perhaps, you know, she might write me in on her contract and let me come and do a guest appearance on her show.
Oh, that would be interesting.
How
all right, Blair,
that?
I got to go. I'm already a minute and
thank
a half late. Thanks, man.
All right, my friend. Thank you.
All right, Dave Harrigan, when do you want me to stop talking?
Let's stop talking in 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
Yeah, let's make that happen.
Hey, the big CCO event, October 21st, Chan Essen Dinner Theater. There's not many tickets left. Not many tickets at all. Get it done, WCCORadio.com. Go right now.